Hello, and welcome back to another edition of the Three Good Things podcast, where, you guessed it, I talk about three good things. Today's episode is probably the shortest episode of the Three Good Things podcast because it's currently 11:30 and I want to get this out by midnight. But we have three things to talk about today. The first is a long Medium article, but worth the read if anyone's considering an MBA or going to business school, especially now with COVID-19 and shelter in place. So if you don't know, an MBA is your master's in business association. It's typically referred to as going to business school after your undergrad, either directly or going to the workforce for a few years, and then going to business school to accelerate your career path. So the question is, will an MBA help you get ahead specifically in tech? So Nick DeWild breaks this down. It's actually an older article from 2018, but it still holds true today. The way that this typically comes about is when someone who's pretty prominent in VC Twitter or just on Twitter itself says something like, asking what is the next Facebook is not the way to find it. You find it by making something that you want, probably as a side project. One reason there are so few big startups founded by MBA grads is that MBAs don't do side projects. And often this gets a lot of interaction, a lot of reach, because that person may be verified on Twitter, and you have someone who is an MBA grad talking about counter examples. MBA grads have started ThreadUp, Rent the Runway, Birchbox, Tough Mudder, Blue Apron, Cloudflare, tons of billions of dollars of market cap right there just between those few companies that were started by MBA grads. So, begs the question, is an MBA the right move for you, specifically if you want to get ahead in tech and create your own company? So Nick does a great job of articulating how this article is going to be structured and what exactly the advice is for people in this situation. In full transparency, I'm actually around the age when it makes sense to go to business school. So that's why I was reading this, because it's not only relating directly to me, but it helps me kind of organize my thoughts and my process of not only where to apply if I do want to go to business school, but also what is the why of why I want to go to business school. So he talks about framing the problem in the right way. He articulates great reasons for how exactly one should think about it. The first being, where do you want to go? So logistically, do you want to go to LA to be in entertainment? Do you want to go to New York to be in finance? Do you want to go somewhere in the Midwest for some other reason? The second being, how are you going to be measured? Is it the years of school, the school reputation, the concentration, and it's pre-business school? How are you going to be measured? As well as post-business school when you are done with your MBA. The later part of the article break down the full framework of what it's like being hired at a small startup, a growth stage startup, a large tech company, or being a founder on your own. And the last thing that I'll touch on the podcast, the article goes in more depth, is where are you starting from? Are you starting from working at two big tech companies or one big tech company right after college? Do you not have a baseline at all in terms of work experience? Is it mostly stuff you did in college with friends, or maybe you had a startup in college? What is your current baseline when you're seeking to go to business school? And that will help inform the other questions. So I highly recommend you check it out. It's a long Medium article written by Nick DeWild. One thing that he doesn't touch on, because the article was written 2 years ago, is, does business school make sense now in the time of COVID and shelter in place? And the answer is, only time will tell. So if you're not familiar, a lot of the schools now are switching to complete online curriculum, meaning if you were accepted to, let's say, Harvard or a Booth in Chicago, you're not going to the university. You have the option of doing it completely online instead of being a part of the cohort, even if you're a full-time MBA student. So the reason for a lot of these people doing full-time MBAs is to take advantage of living with your cohort and living with your fellow students on campus. And the majority of people that I've talked to about MBAs that have done MBAs say it's who you know, not what you know. Meaning the majority of those people have seen an accelerant in their career because of hanging out with their cohort outside of their classrooms and their curriculum. But when everyone is scattered and decentralized because of COVID-19 and having to study from afar, what does that mean in terms of the actual curriculum and building those communications and that network and that cohort camaraderie virtually? So in my opinion, I don't necessarily think it's worth it right now unless things shift to the point where there are people who are going to be going to those universities and staying with other people from their cohort, building those relationships so that when they graduate, if they need to, they can dip into that cohort camaraderie and hopefully get something at different companies or start something together. So only time will tell. I also have a couple of friends who are starting business school in a few months, who got accepted to different programs, and it'll be the first class that is COVID related. Because before this, you know, everyone that was doing their MBA, that was starting their MBA, was not displaced. They would be on campus getting their degree. But good thing is the article does a little bit of a great job of articulating the framework you should use when you're making such a big life decision. And definitely talks about what your goals are and how better to frame them in general. Our second good thing today is actually a long article, also on Medium. I'm actually reading more Medium articles these days, about how Fortnite baited Apple into a losing battle. So if you're not following, on Thursday, Fortnite maker Epic Games made an announcement to their hundreds of millions of users on the platform that it was dropping the price for V-Bucks by 20%, which is the in-game currency on Fortnite. And they called it a promotion, and it took effect immediately on every platform that the game is played on. Now, what does that mean? On iOS and Android mobile devices, you had to choose a new payment method called Epic Direct Payment rather than paying through the App Store or Google Play in order to get that discount, which violates Apple and Google's rules, but Epic already knew that. Both app stores, the App Store and the Google Play Store, take a significant cut of app purchases. They've been doing this for years. Subscriptions and in-app payments are made on their platforms. Apple famously takes 30% of a cut in most of those cases, which means they're making money just because you are choosing to do an in-app purchase within the App Store on that app. So with very, 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 very few exceptions, they don't allow apps to advertise ways for them to be cut out because they're the platform that that people are starting with. So you get an iPhone, you go to the App Store, you download Fortnite. If you make purchases within the app on the phone, the people that make the phone, Apple, are the ones that get 30% of the cut. Crazy, because the people that made the phone and the platform for you to play the game are not the ones who have anything to do with the game itself and why you chose to play that game versus other ones. The only reason that they get a cut is because it's the Apple App Store, and that's how things have been working. So, what happened? Apple and then Google very quickly removed Fortnite from their stores on Thursday, just hours after the game started offering their users this very slick promotion. And Epic didn't do this without not knowing. They knew this was going to happen all along. They responded with a short video called 1980 Fortnite, which skewered Apple's iconic 1984 ad about thinking different. And in the Epic video, they first aired it within a game, within an event in Fortnite, and then presented it just virtually on Twitter as an upstart challenging Apple's hegemony. So, by Friday morning, that spot had racked up over 2 million views, along with a hashtag #FreeFortnite on Twitter. By the day's end, Epic had followed up with an antitrust lawsuit against Apple and Google, accusing them of anti-competitive restraints and monopolistic practices, which makes a lot of sense. The quote here from a tech investor is, "Apple is playing checkers while Epic is playing Fortnite." The article goes into a little bit more depth about the specifics of what Apple is doing, why Epic decided to take a stand. I think the good news is challenging the monopoly. There's been many companies that could not have, that either A, don't have the capital, or B, the fandom, or C, just the general wherewithal to take on a $1 trillion company, even a multi-trillion dollar company like Apple, and just kind of bend to their will. But Epic is not doing that. Epic is saying the percentage should be a lot less for how much the App Store and Apple take, because they're not the ones that are creating the app whatsoever. And they're also outlining some other things that they want from Apple in the lawsuit. Our third good thing of the day is actually a YouTube video from the Phoenix Suns organization called Don't Sleep on Basketball, Episode 9. Highly recommend that you check it out. They talk about a little bit of a few things you don't necessarily think about in the bubble. So, for example, you have a whole team. You have coaches, assistants, everyone else that are stuck in Orlando all together, and they're playing NBA games, etc. Who does laundry? How does laundry work? You can't have different teams playing at different times because you have to get them their laundry beforehand. Do some players do their own laundry? Questions like that are answered in the video, and they also talk about the Phoenix Mercury, the WNBA team who is down in the bubble with the NBA teams, and now that the NBA playoffs, the men's league, starting their playoffs, the women's league, the WNBA, are starting similar games in the bubble. And they have a little bit of a guest appearance from the head coach of the Mercury, Sandy, where they have a little fun activity with her while they're on Instagram Live. They also have mini interviews with Monty Williams, the Suns head coach, DeAndre Ayton, the Suns starting center, and kind of what's going on now that the Suns are officially not in the playoffs. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to Three Good Things. This was a recording of the Three Good Things podcast. Again, if you want to reach out to me, feel free to follow me on Twitter. My handle is @SharduLGo. That's SHARDULGO. And my DMs are always open. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.